The Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Matt and I have a golden retriever who's about 4.5 years old. His name is Winston. Matt and I both have been fans of golden since before we ever met, so when we decided to get a dog one day, it was pretty much a no-brainer that we'd get a golden retriever. Now, let me tell you, and I'm not just saying this, our dog is really good-looking. Now, I know he's my own dog, so you might think that I'm a little bit biased, but truly, he is a good-looking dog. His dad was a show dog with this perfect, beautiful coloring and this incredible stature, and Winston looks like that. He's strong, he's bigger than most Goldens, and he's got that beautiful, light golden hair. A couple of years ago, actually, Matt and I took Winston on a walk, and a stranger passed us and told us that we looked like a Norman Rockwell painting with this beautiful, all-American dog. He said that our dog looked like his hair had just been round brushed with a blow dryer, that he looked like he should be on the cover of a magazine. Like I said, he's a good-looking dog. And people actually stop us all the time to tell us how handsome he is, but here's the thing, he's also crazy. Just ask Jared or his wife Hannah, and they will tell you that he is incredibly hyper around people when they come over. He's chewed the molding off of our kitchen door frame. We've replaced our living room rug more than twice for reasons that I won't go into. He recently ate the leg off of one of Benjamin's stuffed animals, but don't worry, Frank, it wasn't the one that you got him. It's not uncommon for him to eat so fast that he throws up. Once we had him tied to a pole at Chick-fil-A, and he literally chewed through his leash to set himself free. He sheds like crazy. We empty our Roomba daily because of how much hair it picks up, and like all other dogs, he licks himself incessantly in some pretty gross places. And finally, he just stinks. I mean, that dog smells like a dog. Dogs, they really are wonderful creatures. They're great companions, they're loyal, they're sweet, but no matter how good looking they are, at the end of the day, they're all dogs, and dogs can be huge pains, and they can be pretty disgusting at times, too. Well, you may have noticed that in our text this morning, Jesus refers to a Canaanite woman as a dog. Now, make no mistake about it, he's not equating her to a Norman Rockwell painting. He's referring to her as a dog because she's lowly. She is a nuisance, a pain, maybe even disgusting in her own way. I've often wondered how this story made it into our scriptures. In fact, it's recorded in two of our gospels, which only further legitimizes it. But why would the gospel writers include this story, even if it really did happen? I mean, it certainly makes Jesus look kind of like a jerk, doesn't it? I mean, I never heard this story when I went to VBS as a child, and I'm pretty sure no one ever preached on it in the churches that I grew up in, but here it is. Not even in black and white, but in red letters. He says to this woman in need who cries out for his mercy, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the beginning of our text, we are told that Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this would have been Gentile territory, so this had to have been an intentional move and not just the result of a casual stroll. And most likely, the reason for the move was so that Jesus could put some distance between himself and King Herod. You see, Jesus was beginning to make a reputation for himself, and this was starting to threaten King Herod. And if you remember, the last time that King Herod felt threatened, it was by John the Baptist, who he eventually had beheaded. So it's no wonder then that Jesus heads out of town and journeys to the edge of the Jewish world, somewhere he hoped he could lay low for a while, somewhere he thought he might not be recognized. And so he and his disciples head somewhere along the Mediterranean Sea where instead of fishing for people, they could breathe easy, unwind, and just fish for dinner. We might not know the feeling of an impending threat, but certainly we can all relate to the feeling of finally being able to relax after a hard day's work when all of a sudden someone needs us again. For the parents in the room, I know you know what I'm talking about. You just put your feet up when your child starts screaming again. It's like they know. Oh, you're resting now? I don't think so. I now have an immediate need that I cannot meet myself, so I am going to whine and cry like it is life-threatening until you get up and meet my need. I mean, we all know the feeling. So we can kind of imagine Jesus's annoyance when there he is, finally safe and able to relax, when a Canaanite woman comes out of nowhere and starts shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." Now, there are three things to notice about this woman, which make her actions all the more irritating. First, she was a Gentile, not a Jew. She was a Canaanite and not a Galilean. And it was only five chapters ago that Jesus said to his disciples, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And second, she was a woman, not a man. She had no cultural or religious right to approach a rabbi. She had no husband or son or handy male rep to act as her intermediary. And third, the text says she was shouting. She was raising a ruckus. She was making a scene. This woman showed no respect. The disciples tell Jesus to send her away. And so essentially he says to her, "I didn't come for you. I came for Israel." And so there she stood before Jesus and a group of men, men who found her annoying, men who saw her as an obstacle to be overcome, men who were determined to silence her so they could rest easy. Nevertheless, she persisted. And this time on her knees, she cried, "Lord, help me." Yesterday was the National Women's March, as many of you probably know. Thousands of women gathered across the country to march once again for women's rights. Thousands of women raised their voices and said things like, "Me too," or "We will not be silenced," or "Women's rights are human rights." You see, the women of today know this woman from Canaan because they are this woman from Canaan. Women everywhere know what it means to be met by men who find them annoying, men who've seen them as obstacles to be overcome, men who have determined to silence them so that they can rest easy. The spirit of the Canaanite woman was ever present yesterday. Her voice echoed through the streets. On their knees, women everywhere cried, "Lord, help me." Now, I don't know why Jesus says to her that it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. We could spend hours debating why it is that Jesus said that. We could attempt to justify his words and find some type of interpretation that would make us all a little bit more comfortable, but I'm not sure we'd really get anywhere. You see, The point and power of this story is not in Jesus' words, but in hers. Despite his cruelty, she persists again, and with sheer wit, she says to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And this time he answers her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." My friends, here is why I think this story made it into our scriptures, despite how poorly it paints Jesus. This Canaanite woman got a very basic idea of Christianity that the Pharisees and the disciples always struggled to get, and that is that grace and mercy and healing has always been and will always be for people who are basically considered dogs. It's striking to me that she doesn't try to justify herself, that she doesn't try to prove to Jesus that she's worthy enough to be at his feet. It reminds me of the story from Luke 18 of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee prays, "Lord, thank you that I am not like this tax collector here. Thank you that my sins are nothing in comparison to his." This is what self-justification looks like, don't you know? And Jesus hates this. And so in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus asks, "Who is justified before God? The righteous one who prays, 'Thank you that I am not like that sinner,' or the sinner who prays, 'Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner'?" When Jesus refers to this courageous woman as a dog, she doesn't disagree with him. She concedes, and then she challenges him. "You're right, Jesus," she says. "I am a dog. I am unworthy. Now help me." "Of course I'm a dog," she says. "Why else would I be on my hands and knees asking for mercy and healing?" Now, to be clear, that wasn't her having low self-esteem. That's just her admitting the truth. That's her reminding Jesus that he came for the dogs, that he came for the sick, the lost, the sinners, the outsiders, the lowly. That's her reminding Jesus that God didn't send him for righteous Jewish men. And that's her reminding us that Christianity is not about being self-righteous or superior or smug or intolerant. "Jesus," she says, "you came for the dogs, remember? Wasn't it you," she says, "who said that it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick? What was it again? I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." This bold, courageous, defiant woman reminds Jesus and us that faith isn't about separating the saints and the sinners. Christianity is a hospital for the sick and a haven for those on the margins. Church is not a Norman Rockwell painting. Church is a place for crazy dogs who smell and don't always behave like they should. And thanks be to God for this Canaanite woman, because all of this is good news for you and for I. Because you see, first she reminds us that if you feel like you're on the margins, on the outside, always looking in, Jesus came for you. If you feel unseen, unworthy, or undervalued, Jesus came for you. If you've made mistakes, sinned, and I mean really sinned, Jesus came for you. While we were yet sinners, this woman reminds us, Jesus came to save. And second, this interaction is good news for us because it shows us that we are not dealing with an immutable God, one who cannot be changed or persuaded. Instead, we worship a God who hears our cries and is moved by our persistence. We worship a God who is moved by our cries for help. We worship a God who is influenced by our pleas. And so this morning, we gather like a pack of dogs and we boldly beg for mercy and healing and help. We have made a mess of things here in this world, and frankly, we don't know what to do about it. So Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. After all, you came for the dogs. Amen.